And so what we discovered then is that God's ability to bring us into the covenant is greater than our unworthiness. His ability to save and redeem us is stronger than the sins that enslave us. It's because of who God is. It's because of His perfections of love and mercy and grace that He calls us to be His people and blesses us.
Are you looking for meaning or a word from God that's relevant to your life? Are you searching for a better understanding of who God is? Well, you're in the right place. You found the Gary Talks About God podcast. This is a weekly podcast that comes to you from the pulpit of Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church in Germantown, North Carolina. The podcast is hosted by Red Bank Senior Pastor Gary Sanders. Now let's get ready to take that walk through God's Word with our pastor, teacher, and friend. Hey, he's that guy we call Gary.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 30. And I'm perplexed about what to do this morning as I start. For this morning during our prayer time, there was a specific prayer referenced into about the duration of my sermon. And I don't know, because I have said before that God hears and answers our prayers, whether I should make it short so that someone would know that God heard his prayer and answered his prayer, or to make it really long because God doesn't like that type of prayer. So I am confused and perplexed, and so we'll see how it goes. Do the first one. But as we do come to Genesis chapter 30, we get to the end. To me, it is kind of a perplexing chapter. It's got a couple things that happen in it that is just kind of bizarre. It has the people divining, answering, seeking answers from false idols and actually coming up with the correct response, which is kind of weird. But the bigger thing that just kind of bothers me is we get to the end and Jacob's actions still haven't improved. Jacob still hasn't turned. We're waiting for that moment where Jacob just, he sees the light, right? And he throws off all his old sins and he's no longer the old Jacob. He's the new Jacob. We keep waiting for that. And every time we wait for it, he does something else that just looks like the old Jacob. And we go, what is he doing? He's never going to learn. And then we get to the end and it says that Jacob prospered greatly. And I'm stuck with this. All right, God, why is he prospering? Why is he doing well when he can't seem to obey you and follow your word? Why is his flocks increasing? Why is his wealth increasing? Why is all this good stuff happening to him when he's still the deceiver? And this morning, as we go through Genesis 30, I want us to answer that question at the end. It's going to take us a little bit to get there, but I think when we get there, it's one of those things where I've told you many times that sometimes I think we ask the wrong question. And I think in this case, we might be asking, or at least I might be asking, the wrong question. It might not bother you that he's a deceiver and getting away with everything. But boy, it sure bothers me when I read it. So let's read this, find out what he's doing, and see how indeed he has prospered and why and how that relates to us today. So we're going to be reading verse 25, and as we come to verse 25, 14 years have passed. He's now got four wives, 11 sons, and one daughter. Benjamin hasn't quite been born yet. And so he's worked all this time with Laban. And it says in verse 25, as soon as Rachel had born Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it. Jacob said to him, you yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you have had little before I came and it has increased abundantly. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? He said, what shall I give you? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later. When you come to look into my wages with you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen. Laban said, good, let it be as you have said. But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. So this morning, as we walk through that, I want us to walk through it, and the key that holds it together is going to be the covenant blessings of God. And the first thing I want you to notice is this, that God uses the covenant blessings to bless those around us. He uses the covenant blessings to bless those around us. It's been 14 years that Jacob has served Laban. He served him 7 for Rachel that said went by just like that. He loved Rachel so much that those 7 days went past, or 7 years went past like days. But then that trickery when he woke up, right? Those frightening words that we talked about after the marriage when he woke up and said, but it was Leah. Laban tricked him and he had Leah that morning as his wife. And he went out to Laban and said, what have you done? And Laban says, hey, work for me 7 more years and you can have Rachel. And he did. But nothing is commented about how quickly those 7 years went by. So it makes you think that maybe they were a little bit more difficult. Because in those 7 years, we start to see Jacob's family increase. And Leah, who is not loved and the unfavored, begins to have children. And she ends up having 6 sons and 1 daughter. And Rachel gets jealous and says, here, have my maidservant. And he has 2 with her. And then Leah says, have my maidservant, has 2 with her. But then God remembered Rachel. And Rachel had 1 child, but not before she tried that trick with the mandrakes, you know, that old wives' tale, so that she would be fertile and have a kid. And so those last 7 years have been rife with turmoil and difficulty. But Jacob is working. He's working. He's doing what he said he wanted to. And finally, that second 7 years comes up and he goes to Laban and he looks at Laban and he's not very polite about it. He says, look, send me away. I want to go back to my homeland. Maybe in the back of his mind, he is thinking about wanting to see his mom and his mom and dad, to see his family, how it's grown up. And while he didn't explicitly need Laban's permission, he at least wanted to ask that, because the father then would come, Laban would come and bless Rachel and bless Leah and bless his grandchildren and send them off in a celebratory atmosphere. So he comes to Laban and says, hey, I want to go. I fulfilled my 14 years. Let me go. And in Laban's response, we find out what's really important to Laban, right? Laban says, if I found favor in your sight, the Lord has blessed me because of you. In other words, I have prospered. I have great flocks. My flocks have increased abundantly, which Jacob agrees to. And Laban says, it's not that I want you to go and take away my daughter. It's not that I'm a little hurt that I won't see my grandkids grow up, but I'm going to be poor. If you leave and take all, and you go and depart from me, what's going to happen to my flocks? There's no love loss here. As you learn more and more about Laban, you really don't like him at all. He is more concerned about keeping his prosperity than he is about missing his daughters and his grandchildren. He is concerned about profit. And he says to Jacob, and this is one of those parts that he says, I learned by divination. Remember, Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and they would go up and they would divine either by looking at the stars or other methods to figure out what the will of God, the gods were. And this is the atmosphere that Abraham was called out of, yet his family is still practicing that. But for some reason, when Laban goes and practices that, he gets the right answer. Because what he says is truthful, that he is being blessed because of Jacob. And he says, I want you to stay because if you leave, you're going to take God's blessing with you, and I don't want that to depart. Stay, continue to work with me. And what we see then is that part of the covenant promises of God is that people outside the covenant will be blessed by those inside the covenant. That was part of the problem and promise. And in this case, Jacob is being a blessing to Laban because God has said, I'm going to bless Jacob and I will bless those who bless him. And so Jacob, by being there and working, is blessing Laban. Laban is receiving that, even though he's outside the covenant line, even though he's still practicing divination, God is still blessing Laban through Jacob. Now, this has amazing application for us today. Because as Christians, we offer to society, as part of us coming to Christ and Him as our Lord and Savior through the new covenant, we now become a blessing to those around us. You as a Christian should be a blessing to people that you come in contact with, not because of how wonderful you are, but because you are part of the new covenant and the covenantal people. And we do this in all kinds of ways, right? We bless society when we act according to the fruit of the Spirit. When we sow love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we bless those around us. For the fruit of the Spirit is an observable behavior in us, which indicates to the society at large that Christ resides in our hearts, that we are His. And so instead of returning evil for evil, we return evil with love, or when we respond in a spirit of peace instead of anger, when we are patient with somebody, when we are gentle with somebody, we're blessing them even though they may not be a believer, because Christ, through the new covenant blessing on us, is using us as a blessing. We bless society around us when we take care of the widows and the orphans and the poor. When we give to the toy store, darn it. When we do Backpack Buddies, the Fair Ministry, East Oaks Outreach. I mean, I know we look up here and we see powdered milk, and honestly, I don't know what recipe I would use powdered milk for. I don't. But I know that through our giving to that and us bringing that in, that somebody in our community who doesn't have food, who would qualify as a poor, the widow, or the orphan, is going to be blessed because of us. Because we take the command of Christ to go and to serve the widow and the poor and the orphan seriously. And so they're going to be blessed. We bless society when we have a block party or VBS or the gospel concert, because those are observable acts of goodness that we are called to walk in. And that goodness has the idea of moral clarity, moral righteousness in it, and because they're good, not because that we're having a free event, but they're good because during the event, the gospel is proclaimed. During the event, Christ is exalted. One of the things last night that I just found I enjoyed so much with the singing and was just blessed so much was the gospel centeredness of all the songs. Every last one of them. And so that becomes a blessing when the community comes and they're here for the block party and we point people to the Savior who died for their sins so they could be redeemed. That is a way of blessing the community. We, because we are our new covenant people, we have been redeemed by Christ, we now can be a blessing to those around us, even if they are not in the community, with the hopes of them becoming part of the covenant. So God uses the covenant blessings to bless those around us. But as we continue to read, what we find out is that God's covenantal blessing is based on the character of God. It's not based on who we are. It's based on the character, or I think actually on the screen I put the perfections of God. And what we see is that Jacob now, in talking to Laban, has to make a decision. Jacob says to Laban, I want to go. Laban says, no, stay. Jacob has a decision to make. What is he going to do? Now, factoring into Jacob's problem may be the fact that he doesn't have anything. Okay? He's not a wealthy person. He has 4 wives and 11 children. He doesn't have a penny to his name. He doesn't have flocks. He doesn't have livestock. The time that he has worked to increase Laban, not Jacob. So if he decides to leave, he's got to leave and travel all the way back to Canaan with no money, with no flocks, with no livestock. Where's the milk going to come for the kids? If he stops somewhere and has to buy hay or food for the animals, where's the money going to come from? He has nothing. So I'm sure that that may have been a factor in his mind. So he kind of decides to negotiate with Laban just a little bit. Laban says to him, name your wages and I will give it to you. Now, he's already fell for that once, has he not? What do you want? I want Rachel. Okay, sure, I'll give you Rachel. That didn't work out so well for him. So Jacob doesn't bite this time. And then Jacob says, look, I've served you. And I confess, your flocks have increased abundantly because the Lord has blessed me. And then he makes this interesting statement that's going to be really more important in the next chapter than it is right now. But he says, when shall I provide for my own household? So when he says that, what we see is a division of households with Laban and Jacob's household over here, and it's going to be important in the covenantal blessings because we're going to find out that the blessings continue to flow through Jacob, not through Laban's household. So he says, how am I going to do? How am I going to provide for my household? So Laban again says, what shall I give you? And Jacob's like, look, I've fallen for that twice or once. I'm not doing it again. You're not to give me anything. But here's what I want you to do. And this is shrewd of Jacob. And his plan is a little confusing and unfolds over a couple different steps. But he looks at Laban and says, look, this is what I want to do. I'm going to pass through all your flock in verse 32 and remove from it every speckled spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats. So basically he says, I'm going to go through the flocks and I'm going to take out the misfits, if you will, the aberrations, the variety, the variegated animals. I'm going to take them out. That's going to be my wages. You get what everybody would look at and would deem the healthy or the stronger of the animals. And part of this plan is, he says, so when I do this, you will always be able to walk to my flock and immediately know if I have taken anything from yours. Right? If his flock is all white, if Laban's flock is all white and Jacob's flock is every color, stripe, and multi, when Laban walks over here, he could say, that white sheep in the midst of all the black sheep belong to me. You stole my sheep. Right? So Laban could see. Now, if I was Laban, I would take this deal. This is a good deal because he's going to get all the strong, healthy, the good-looking animals. Jacob's going to get the ugly, scrawny-looking animals. So if I'm Laban, I'm going to be all over this. And so Jacob is speaking. He says, this is what I want to do. In verse 33, remember how I've told you there's some really funny verses in the Bible? You just got to pay attention. Verse 33 is terrifically funny because these are the words that come out of Jacob's mouth. So my honesty will answer for me. Okay, you remember his name means deceiver, right? Y'all don't seem to be getting the humor here. His name means deceiver. And he says, I'm going to let my honesty speak for me. That's like if you know a pathological liar coming up to you and say, I'm going to let my honesty speak for me today. I'm like, sure, okay, I trust you there. You know, it's kind of humorous. But Laban's not going to be outdone. We've got two deceivers going head to head. Laban's not going to be outdone. So Laban in verse 34, he says, good, I'll take it. And then Laban goes and separates out the flock. So Laban gets to decide what Jacob's wages are. You see him trying to outdo Jacob before Jacob can outdo him. Now, part of the agreement, and this is where I said it just gets kind of complicated, and you got to pay attention. Even though Jacob's flock is being separated from Laban's, Jacob is going to watch Laban's, while Laban's sons are going to watch Jacob's. Okay? So that, again, Laban said, God has blessed me because of you. The blessings then would be where? On Laban's flock. So his would increase, and all these scraggly little ones over here with Jacob, Jacob's not going to get anything. Right? So Jacob says, all right. And this is where the story gets bizarre. All right? In case it hasn't been kind of hard, this is where it gets bizarre. And as I was writing this and thinking about this, we sit here and we read this because Jacob comes and he says he takes some fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and he peels the streaks out of them, exposing the white sticks, and he puts the sticks in front of the flock so when they come to water, that would be in front of them. And so as they breed with each other at the watering grounds, they would look at this white stuff, and then because of that, they would produce speckled and spotted animals. And you're going, who in the world would believe something like that? Now, I'm not asking anybody to be personal, but we do. How many of you, when you were trying to have children, were told all the different ways to have a kid, or to guarantee that you would have a girl, or guarantee that you would have a boy? Yeah, I mean, we have, right? We've heard those old wives' tales. And again, I'm not going to ask anybody to hold your hands up. I imagine some of you probably tried to see if it worked. And so there's a part of us that reads this story and goes, there's no way that can work. But there's a part of us that thought, well, you know, we look back in our history. Now, what is happening is Jacob is basically practicing genetic selection, even though he doesn't know what it's called. Okay? How many of you remember, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, because he's a British guy, but his last name looks French. It was called Punnett squares, I believe is how you pronounce it. And basically, you'll remember it when I describe it to you. You drew a big plus, right, and then boxed it in, right? And then you wrote a big X, a little X, a big X, and a little X. And so, and this first square would be big X, right? And then this square here would be big X, little X, and then big X, little X, little X, little X. And it basically said, all right, this is, if you have, is basically the genetic selection, how it's going to break down. It would be the genotypes that you would get. So if you remember this from school, you usually did it with green peas and yellow peas. How do you get a green pea? How do you get a yellow pea? And you found out through all of that that you get very few yellow peas, because the green and the green peas were the dominant trait. And so that's what Jacob is doing, even though he doesn't know what to call it. He doesn't know what's happening. He's not scientific about it. He's using the old wives' tales to go about it. And it works. Because what people have discovered and gone through this and tried to figure it out is that Jacob ought to get about 15%. So let's just say in the course of a year there were 100 animals that were born. Jacob would get 15, Laban would get 85. So over a course of, you know, five years or so, Laban's got upwards of 400 sheep. His flocks have grown tremendously, and Jacob stuck down around 60. But what happens is Jacob's flock begins to just get stronger and bigger and bigger and bigger. He sees which are the stronger animals, and he breeds those for his. And we read this and we go, how in the world is all this working? Surely this is not right. Surely that if I go out and I take sheep and goats and peel off bark and put it in front of them, that I'm going to get what I wanted to, because they looked on a piece of wood to have a certain kind of sheep. Now, we know in the back of our minds that what's happening is when he increases greatly, that God is blessing him. Right? Remember that story with Rachel and the mandrakes? The mandrakes didn't open Rachel's womb. Who opened Rachel's womb? God. It said that God remembered Rachel. So God here is the one who is blessing him. God here is the one who is causing his flocks to increase. And this is the problem that I have a hard time with. Because as we recap Jacob's life, he comes out holding Esau's heel, ostensibly trying to pull Esau back in so he can come out first. He sees that his brother is not feeling well and takes advantage of him. Sell me your birthright and I will feed you. Okay, sure. He goes and with his mom, he tricks his dad out of the blessing of the firstborn. Three different times he lies to his daddy. What kind of person lies to his daddy? Right? Who is this? Oh, it's Esau. Oh, you smell like Jacob, but Phil. No, it's me, Esau. Well, I'm not really sure. No, it's me. Lies to his dad, comes out here to Laban, and comes up with this scheme. He's still scheming, still deceiving. He is actively trying to cheat Laban. Right? I mean, through his actions, he's saying, you may be trying to deceive me, but I'm going to deceive you more. Jacob is not worthy of the covenantal blessings. I mean, do you think he's worthy? Is this who you would pick? I wouldn't. And so we have to ask, why? He doesn't appear to have changed in 14 years. Why then does God bless him? And it would be really easy, right? We all know the really easy answers in the Bible, right? We can always go back. Well, in Genesis chapter 28, God came to him in a dream, and God said that I'm going to bless you, and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, yeah, great, I know it. You know, it's like those moments when something is going on and people are trying to be encouraging, and they come up to you and go, well, you know, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good for those who love him and call according to his purpose. It's like, yeah, that's great. I know that. However, in this moment, what I know and what I feel are not aligning. We know that God has promised this, and we got to go, why is God doing this? And yes, I agree, and it is theologically correct to say that it is God's plan, it is his redemptive plan to work through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and then the tribes that become the great nation of Israel. And I understand that. But I think part of the reason that we try to come to answer this and we miss the answer is because in that last sentence, when we go, Jacob appears to be undeserving of the blessing that I am saying, we must stop for a minute and realize that we are undeserving of the blessing as well. And so we answer the question from a different point of view. Instead of going, why does Jacob deserve that? We understand that he didn't deserve that. And then we look at ourselves and we understand that we don't deserve it either. We don't deserve God's blessing in our lives either. We don't deserve to be part of God's covenantal people either. Yet here we are. And if you know Christ as Lord and Savior, you're part of his covenantal people. So obviously between the disconnect of we don't deserve it and we are, what we find in the middle is hope. There's hope. Because we come to understand and recognize how amazingly merciful and gracious God really is. For in the fact that he blesses Jacob, we understand it is not because of anything Jacob has done. Has Jacob done anything right yet? Well, let's give him credit for one. He has worked 14 years for Laban. He did work hard. Let's give him that one. But that aside, has he done anything right? He's stolen birthrights. He's lied to his father. He has four wives. He's scheming Laban again. He doesn't seem to be practicing what God has called him to do. He doesn't seem to be walking in the light of the fact that God spoke to him at Bethel. Now think about us. Are we any different? We're frail, sinful humans, right? We could have filled up this whole board this morning with our sins, could we not? With things a lot more egregious than we took our sister's toy. Or we hit our brother when we weren't happy. The sins that we could write on that board would probably cause many of us in here to blush. Yet somehow we can be part of God's covenantal blessings. And so what we discovered then is that God's ability to bring us into the covenant is greater than our unworthiness. His ability to save and redeem us is stronger than the sins that enslave us. And as we read through this and understand it, what we see is it's because of who God is. It's because of His perfections of love and mercy and grace that He calls us to be His people and blesses us. So, yes, Jacob was undeserving, but so is everyone in here this morning who is a Christian and in Christ. Yet God blesses us still. I want to read as we close Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14. And I'm just going to read. I'm going to let Scripture speak for itself. But as you listen or as you follow along, notice that in this Scripture, it's all about God. It's all about His mercy. It's all about His grace. It's all about His will. It's all about His power to redeem us. And as we read about His perfections and how much it is about God, what you find out is that we then see or we read that we become the beneficiaries of all the perfections of who God is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, down to verse 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He has chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantor of the inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. It's all about Him. And praise God, we are the beneficiaries of His love, His grace, and His mercy.
You've been listening to the Gary Talks About God podcast. Are you looking for a church? Well, Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church is a community of believers who exist to glorify God and see transformed lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at www.redbankmbc.com. Also, come visit us on Sunday at 8104 Red Bank Road in Germantown, North Carolina. Did you like this podcast? We put one out each and every week, so don't forget to subscribe. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we thank you for listening.